Let's start tonight by singing number 25. 25. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the mining of a sheaf, being time. First time I was in Montreal, I was about 17, 18 years old. Now I'm 73. Time has certainly shot by. Time is gliding swiftly by. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, the fatal line be passed, be in time. We're just going to sing the second verse of 25. There is flowers and decay. Announcement he makes just before the meeting. He turns it on in here, and you can hear it out in the hallway. Be in time, inviting you to come into the meeting. The Spirit of God has brought you here tonight. You may think you came on your own, but God in His infinite grace and mercy loves you. He wants you to hear, but there's an enemy out there who doesn't want you to hear. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to send, as it were, a bunch of guardian angels so that the word can go forth and the devil will be hindered from his attacks on you, because he doesn't really care about you, but God does. Let's pray. There are a number of gospel verses on this invitation. I wonder if anybody in this room ever read it. Has anybody in this room ever read this? I read it. That this is a faithful saying. And that's what we want to hear tonight, don't we? You're sitting in that chair. You want to hear a faithful message. Something that's true. Something that you can grasp. Something you can lay hold on. Lord willing, we're going to look at one-letter word, two-letter word, three-letter word, four-letter words, and five-letter words. The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. But these five words all have to do with the Lord Jesus. The first one we're going to turn to after we turn to Luke 16, verse 15, is a three-letter word. How many in this room, you kids, can you count to three? One, two, three. Or it's uno, dos, tres, but I don't know French, so whatever it is in French. But we're going to look at a three-letter word that is one of the most important, most powerful words in any language in the world. But first of all, in Luke 16 and verse 15, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. And that's where we need to start tonight. God knows your heart. Another verse in Scripture says, God tries the heart. And then he says, the secrets of the heart are going to be revealed. But what a marvelous thing to know that God knows your heart. It's been often said, you can fool me, you can fool your grandma and grandpa, that you can't fool God. Let me throw this question out. Who thinks they know what the first word, three-letter word that I'm going to mention tonight is? Anybody think they know? That's a good one, but no. Found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis 1 and verse 1, here's our first three-letter word. In the beginning, God. The most powerful, awesome word in human language, God. And the interesting thing is that every person in this world has a God of some sort. A God of some sort. There's one God, one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. In the beginning, God. Turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Think of it, my friend. This book starts with God and it ends with God. And in the middle of this entire book, there's tears, heartache, sorrow, misery. Yes, there's blessing, but it's a history of man and a history of broken hearts, broken dreams. So from Genesis, we start with God. In Revelation, we end up with God. God. Turn back to Luke 16. Sometimes they get a little complicated and they try to fit too many things in. But that's what we're going to try to do tonight. Luke 16. Well-known story, verse 19, starting with, certain rich man, clothed in purple, so forth, but he died. Verse 23. Then in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, said to Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Revelation 21 again says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. This man finds himself in hell. There's no one there, my friends, to wipe his tears away. There's no Tylenol there. There's no Vicodin, no Oxycontin. There's nothing to relieve his pain. But in the coming day, God is going to remove all these things. And yet this poor man, been in hell all these years since the Lord Jesus was on earth, and in pain, been in terrible pain and anguish. Jesus said there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. We were in a hotel down the street, and next to our room there was a baby apparently. And for about 2 hours, that's all she did was wail. And it's interesting how it just goes right through the wall. And do something. But think of this poor man in eternity, and others have gone into eternity. There's nobody that's going to wipe their tears away. And if you find yourself there, you too will not find anybody to comfort you, to help you, to ease the pain, take it away. Constant, eternal suffering, anguish. First three-letter word is God. What's the first letter word? Who can tell me that might be? first letter in the English alphabet. Anybody know what that is? A. Long, long time ago, there was a big giant, and he defied the armies of Israel and said, "Give me a man." Years down the road, there's a blind man, John 9, and his eyes are open. How did your eyes get open? A man named Jesus. Amen. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? God answered that prayer. David slew the giant. And now God has come down, opened this man's eyes. And tonight, if you're still spiritually blind, we pray earnestly. We pray that your eyes would be open. He didn't understand much of anything. All he could say is, "All I know is that once I was blind, now I see." Woman at the well, John 4. "Come see a man." Oh, tonight, my friend, I want to present to you the man. The man who loves you. The man who came to die. Bore your sins in his own body on the tree if you accept it. It's been said there's two aspects, propitiation and substitution. He died for the sins of all world. That's true, he did. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But you have to believe it for yourself. You believe that Jesus died? That's an important thing we'll see later. We might even quote it. Paul says to the Romans, "If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, for what? Your justification." Oh, fantastic. Give me a man named Jesus. How about a two-letter word? Starts with an N. Anybody think of a two-letter word starts with an N? Has an O somewhere in there? No. This was brought out in the meetings. "Is there no man that condemns you, lady?" She says, "No, man." The Lord Jesus didn't come down here, my friends, to condemn you to hell. That's where you're going anyhow. Wrath of God abides over your head because you refuse the love of the truth that you might be saved. But the Lord Jesus came down here to save you, to deliver you from that wrath. Later on we read, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. So we have our one-letter word, we have our two-letter word, our three-letter word. What was our four-letter word again? Love, marvelous word. L-O-V-E. He is indeed God's love man. And yet the Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading the Bible, the Old Testament, and he doesn't get a thing out of it. Do you read the Bible and don't get anything out of it? Well, you need to go to the source. The Spirit of God will open it up to you. And so Philip says, "Understand what you read?" He says, "How can I except some man?" See, all these letter words have to do with man. A man, the man, some man. Yes, we can point you to some man. The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him? "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men." We like to justify ourselves. We like to justify ourselves even as we're Christians. Wasn't my fault. Wasn't my idea. God knows your heart this evening. I can't look into your heart. All I can do is simply try to present a gift. God's gift. Anybody here 10 years old? Anybody here 10? Nobody here 10? I'll have a gift for you if you are, but if you're not 10, I guess I get to keep it. Huh? Well, that's good, because that's how you get saved. You become as a little child. You become as a little child. Yeah, and if nobody wants to come up and get the gift, I'll give it to you as a 10-year-old. How's that? Third word, the. T-H-E. It was read this morning. Brother quoted it. Behold the man. The Lord Jesus came. You ever stop to realize it was also mentioned too by a brother? When he was taken at night, brought into the Sanhedrin mock trial, after it was all over, who remembers the very first thing they did to the Lord Jesus? Think of it. It was quoted in Hebrews 1, who will be in the brightness of glory? The brightness of glory. Express image of God's person. Upholding all things by the word of his power. And they spit in his face. That was the first thing they did. They spit in his face. Peter, if I spit in your face, you wouldn't like me very well, would you? But this is what we did. This was our heart. We spit in the very image of God. God manifest in flesh. And that was the first thing they do. They send him to Herod. Herod mocks them. Herod sends him to Pilate. Pilate, soldiers, put a crown of thorns on his head. And what's the next thing they did? He spit in his face. Tonight, as it were, my friend, are you spitting in the face of Jesus? The very one who stands with arms outstretched, and you spit in his face. He loves you. He died to redeem you. We sing that in Richmond sometimes. He loves you. He wants you. He died to redeem you. Only believe his word. There's nothing to do. Nothing to buy. He left his mansion, his glory on high. Now he is willing, waiting to save you. Are you saved tonight? No man, a man, the man. The next one is a T word too, a four-letter word, this. They sent the soldiers to the Lord Jesus. They come back. Why didn't you bring them back? They said, no man spake like this man. Isn't that marvelous? No man spake like this man. And these are 1, 2, 3, 4-letter words that man has attacked the person of Christ. But you know, God in his great love, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, thief on the cross said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and you can have your sins forgiven tonight. Only believe. Only believe. He is willing. He is able. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus now. God hath appointed a day in which he is going to judge this world by that man. That man. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man. The very one that Pilate said, behold the man. God is going to use that man as the only mediator between you and God. marvelous grace of God. I don't have a watch. Somebody tell me what time it is. I don't want to. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment, both draw nigh. Next few minutes, I would like to look at a couple of miracles that took place during the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Sometimes you hear brothers speak about the last seven words of the Lord on the cross. We're going to look at some of the miracles that took place while he was on the cross. And I hope I can break it down to a level where you kind of understand it. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. That's the first one. Why is this significant? I don't say this in any irreverent way. God didn't need 3 hours of darkness to do what he had to do. But he used these 3 hours of darkness to try to open up the eyes of his people there at Calvary. Here they were so occupied with the Passover, and they wanted to get him down off the cross before the Passover. They were so occupied with it. And yet for 3 hours there was darkness. Luke says over the whole earth. What is God trying to tell them? He says, my people, go back. Go back to the 10th of Exodus and the 9th plague. What is the 9th plague? There was darkness for 3 days in the land of Egypt. And it was darkness that could be felt. Wow. He's trying to awaken him to the realization that this is the Passover. This is the behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Passover that's been promised. They didn't get it. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight who still doesn't get it. Heard the gospel message many times. Heard it many times. 3 hours versus 3 days compressed into 3 hours. Horrendous judgment of God. What was the 10th plague? Death of the firstborn. And after 3 hours of darkness, Jesus cries with a loud voice. He dies. The death of the firstborn, right in their very presence, the Passover lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And here the death of the firstborn. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In verse 51. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The second miracle that took place. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. This is a feeble little picture of it. I got this from Mrs. Blair. She was so kind to let me ruin it. But think of this as this mighty, fantastic, beautiful curtain separating the holy place from the most holy. The Ark of the Covenant hiding behind it. And these priests who perhaps were there inside doing whatever they were doing, and then they hear the sound, ripped from the top to the bottom. What is God telling them? The way into God's presence has been opened. It is the Day of Atonement for them. It was the Yom Kippur. It was not only the Passover. It was not only the death of the firstborn and the first fruits, but it was redemption. It was bringing into this relationship that you can come into His presence. And that's why it says, come, come ye sinners, poor and needy. Come unto me all ye that labor. Why? Because the veil has been rent. We find in Hebrews it was His flesh, His body was given in death. So the Passover atonement has been made. Eternal redemption for you, for me. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to buy. Oh, come to Jesus. He will save you. What a marvelous thing. God is speaking to His people. And God speaks to you and I tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's interesting in John's epistle, he says, the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. John's gospel says, God gave. God gave His Son. As an obedient servant, He came. He was doing the will of God. But God gave Him as a gift to you. A gift to you. He came to die. How many in this room want to die? Nobody. One of the things I used to do when I was working, we did a lot of research for the government and other agencies, and one of them was a lung health study and trying to get people to stop smoking cigarettes. And they had an interview with the doctor. One of the things the doctor had to tell them very sternly, very solemnly, simply this: if you continue to smoke, you will die. That was a choice. We heard about choices today. Decide for Christ tonight. You have a choice. Are you going to receive God's gift, or are you going to accept it? Sometimes if you tell your neighbor, stop smoking or something, they just laugh. But when a doctor tells you something like that, it carries a little bit more weight, doesn't it? But how about God? God, rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You and I now have access to come into the very presence of God as lost sinners. We don't literally come into His presence because we have to come through Jesus. We have to come through Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the access, the way open, is there. And if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you come right into the very presence of God. And not only that, you find as you grow, you're in the family of God. But you know, if you die in your sins, you're going to be like that poor rich man. Nobody there is going to dry your tears. Nobody there is going to comfort you, ease your pain. Anybody in this room know what real pain is? I had both knee replacements done at the same time. And they had me on Oxycontin. They had me on some kind of drip. Now just pushing that button, I felt so good. It took away all the pain. But when they got me out of bed, talk about pain coming back. Think of the pain for you. The Lord Jesus went for you. Be be it known unto you this night, this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Jesus in the 8th of John is telling people simply this: if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You want to go to heaven? If you die in your sins, it's not going to happen. You need to put your faith and trust in a risen, glorified man in the glory. The man who has nail prints in his hands to show how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. How many gospel messages have you heard over your lifetime? His life at best is very brief. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. So from the beginning of this book we have God. To the end of the book we have God. But all through the book we have God trying to win the people's heart. God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Marvelous grace of God. When we are enemies. Touching to me, it doesn't say Christ died for me when I was his enemy. It says God gave his son. Gave his son. Would you give your son for your neighbor? God gave his son for you, for me. The darkness that is creeping in this world. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and it says the earth covered with darkness. What did God say? Let there be light. L-I-G-H-T. That's my five-letter word, light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel which shines in the face of Jesus Christ shines. What a marvelous thing. God has now burst open the doors and he wants you to come home. Wants you to accept Christ as your Savior. As I said, I had a gift for somebody who's 10 years old. Let's cut it down to 9 years old. Anybody here 9 years old? I only have one, so hopefully I don't get in a bind. God has only one gift. It's his son. Are you 9 years old? Would you like a free gift? What do you have to do to get a free gift? You get a free gift by standing there? You get a free gift because you believe that I'll give it to you? Haven't even told you what it is yet. But you come by faith, simply believing that I have a gift for you. How old are you? 9. What's your name? Oh, Levi. Privilege. Oh. This guy works in the tabernacle. He's a Levi. Yeah. Let's see. I put it in one of my pockets here. Don't trip over your shoelace. There you go. You're welcome. Thank you for accepting the gift. Thank you for saying thank you. He believed that I had a free gift. And yet he hesitated. It takes a lot of courage to come up publicly, as it were, and confess Christ. Take a stand. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anybody here, you kids, you collect pictures of dead presidents? It used to be a Bible work in Bermuda, and I asked the kids one time, anybody here want any pictures of dead presidents? And everybody shook their head, no. So I took out a picture of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson. Yeah. Everybody wanted a picture of a dead president. Well, this young man didn't know it was a dead president. He didn't even know what it is, but he did. He is a gift. And it's his to do whatever he wants. But that's not God's way. God doesn't just give you a gift of eternal life so you can do whatever you want to do. God gives you eternal life so you can live to please Him. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. Do you have life eternal? Think of the terrific message, the gospel, the grace of God. The ages to come, He's going to show those who put their faith and trust in Him the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward me, toward you. You ever stop and think about the kindness and love of God? Tell me what it's on 9. You know, there are many people in this world who are hurting. Children who are hurting. Children who don't even know who their fathers are. Children who are raised by their grandparents. But thank God they're being raised. But God wants you and I to go on together as brethren, as been mentioned, to take an interest in one another. And I really appreciate the message of friendship. I didn't have any friends growing up when I was young. I was an outsider looking in. And yet God in His marvelous grace has provided a beautiful wife. And yet we tend to see people, young people sitting here. Some of you may be indeed hurting. Some of you may be crying, "I'm here, I'm here. Somebody take an interest in me." There's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. The world says is you can count the real true friends you have in one hand. Think of it. In your one hand, you can count really how many true friends you really have. Friends. You come to these conferences and you see all these brethren. We're friends. What a marvelous thing. Oh, but be careful. Be careful. The Lord Jesus there in the garden. Judas came with the band. What did the Lord Jesus say to Judas? "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Oh, don't just be a friend in word, be in heart. Know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's died for you. He's done everything possibly for you. Do you know Him as your Savior tonight? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Another man asked the Lord one time, what good thing should I do? And the Lord said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. I found it very difficult taking the meeting tonight because the solemnity of it. It's the last gospel that ever go forth. The last gospel meeting that will ever go forth in this room, unless the Lord overrules. And you're sitting into the sound of the last gospel meeting. First gospel meeting Apostle Peter preached. This might be the very last time you ever hear the good news. Jesus is coming. Those are the other two things I was going to look at tonight, but I don't have time. The Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and so you have on this side. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a choice tonight, my friend. You want to be on this side and the Lord Jesus comes and takes his people home? Or you want to be on this side and the Lord comes in judgment? And it's a very solemn judgment because in the 19th of Revelation it says he treadeth out the winepressness of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And there's no need for you to be under that wrath. He bore it on the cross for you. He suffered there on Calvary's cross that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. And if you find yourself like this poor rich man in, yes, that's an oxymoron, this poor rich man in hell, it's your choice. You refuse the love of the truth that you might be saved. Well, I guess I should give one more gift just to be fair. Is there anybody here 1 year old? A babe in Christ. Wow, what a thrill that would be. If someone tonight would step by faith, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I believe you died on the cross. And it's important because in 1 Thessalonians 4 it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, God is going to bring them with him. Marvelous. Are you saved tonight, my friend? Are you saved? You've heard the term many times, but do you know Jesus as Savior? Do you know him as your Lord? Come to Jesus, gently calling. One of my favorite songs is not in our little hymn book, but is simply, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you, for me. Tenderly, patiently, Jesus is waiting. Oh, sinner, come home. So with a heavy heart, knowing that this is the last gospel meeting ever to be preached in this building unless the Lord tarries, Montreal has a special place in my heart. I met my wife here in 1975. Make sure I get the year right. 1975 was a Montreal conference. Asked her to sit with me at the gospel meeting. Back then, you wait until the hymn sing, but I didn't want to wait that long. I said, well, let's get on with it. Eric Pilkington took the gospel message. But what a thrill to realize. Over the years, God blesses his people. And God is going to bless and open doors for you, brethren, too, to have another avenue for the gospel to go forth, thy people fed and encouraged. But tonight, if there's somebody in this room tonight, still lost, still lonely, still without a friend, as a brother pointed out, there's a friend sticks closer than a brother. Let's sing a little song for the children. Number 43. So I'll don't have anybody here 1 year old, so after we sing, I'll see if there's anybody here 2 years old. Number 43. One door in a
room, one that can size or two, inside and outside, on which side are you? One door in a room, one that can size or two, I'm on the inside, on which side are you?
That's a marvelous question. We're going to sing one more hymn. We're going to try it, not say it's going to work. Number 32. Anybody here 2 years old? You 2 years old? Would you like a gift? Come on up. Number 32. What we're going to do, this side of the room is going to ask the question. This side of the room is going to give the answer as we sing it. So this side of the room will sing the question. this side of the room will sing the answer. You just get a George Washington because you're only two. There you go. Careful going down. But again, she wanted it. She had to come up for it. A free gift. Let's give it a try, okay? This side's asked the question as we sing it. This side sings the answer, okay? This side. What
can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood Jesus. So that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Everybody on the chorus.
Oh.